So I wonder if you could get it. For those playing along at home, we were trying to guess Fit a Happier's theme today. Played a couple of songs that nodded towards it. Right there, hearing from Mosquito Coast with Sweet Talking. Up before that, Stella Donnelly from her Beware of the Dogs album. We took the track Mosquito, and obviously that's what we're going to be talking about today. Mozzies. Fit a Happier is doing Mozzies today, and it is that time. It's time for Fit a Happier.
Fitter, Happier, a program about your health for your health.
Good morning and welcome to Fitter Happier. Warmer weather is tipped to continue throughout autumn, with mosquito activity across WA likely to follow. Whilst they're only tiny, mosquitoes are more than just serial pests. They can carry numerous dangerous diseases. These diseases are spread by bites, but there are ways you can protect yourself. With us today, we've got Jay Nicholson, Senior Scientific Officer from the Environmental Health Team at the Department of Health, to talk to us all about things mosquitoes do and how we can protect ourselves. Welcome, Jay, and thanks for joining us on the record this morning.
Thank you very much, Pamela. I appreciate your time.
No, appreciate yours. We all need to know about mozzies. They're a pain, but, you know, they're happening. We need to know what's going on. So you're working in the Environmental Health Department at the Department of Health. Can you tell us a little bit about your role in environmental health?
Yes, certainly. So I work very closely with local governments all around the state on mosquito issues. This may involve helping them develop mosquito management plans for their local jurisdictions, providing expert advice on mosquito management in their areas, and also on general mosquito-borne disease advice and things like that. I also provide comments on development applications, so if there's a new development that wants to go ahead in anywhere around WA, we do provide some comment on that with regards to risk areas for mosquito-borne disease and the like.
Uh-huh.
I also can provide some training courses, so mosquito management training courses, and other presentations to universities, community interest groups, and things like that.
Amazing. Amazing. So you're qualified. We know what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, that's
right. So where do mosquitoes commonly hang out? Where do they breed? Where do they like to be?
Yep, as all your listeners are probably aware, probably in your backyard. More specifically, look, essentially, they will breed anywhere there is standing water. So if we look around the home, for example, things like pot plants, buckets, bird baths, dog bowls even, they can certainly breed in there. If there are poorly maintained gutters, swimming pools, water tanks or ornamental ponds, things like that, mosquitoes would definitely breed there. I mean, they can even breed within tree fronds if there's pooling water, and in some flowers like bromeliads and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
More in a broader sense, in the natural environment, they are also found in freshwater wetlands and ephemeral pools after rainfall, which happens quite often in the wheat belt and up north and things like that. But in terms of Perth and South West, one of the biggest problems we have, particularly if you're around waterways like the Swan Canning River and the Peel Winlet, Busselton areas and things like that, are what we call salt marsh mosquitoes. Now, these mosquitoes will actually lay their eggs in samphire swamps above the tide line, so they won't actually breed within the river system itself. It's more on the periphery there where the tides come up and down. So they'll actually lay their eggs on those samphire swamps above the tide line, as I said, and then when the tide comes up, it actually inundates those areas, and then the eggs hatch, and within a week or so, there's all sorts of mosquito issues around those type of areas.
Aha. Now, obviously, mozzies are flying around and they're biting us, right? And it's uncomfortable and we don't like it. But apart from the bite and the tiny little bump that occurs for most people, what are the different diseases mosquitoes carry?
Yeah, so worldwide there's a large amount of diseases that mosquitoes can carry. In fact, mosquitoes are known, they're one of the biggest killers in the world, essentially, in terms of animals. About 700,000 people a year will die from mosquito disease. Common ones that people may be familiar with include malaria, yellow fever, dengue viruses, and West Nile virus. Over the last decade or so, and a couple of others that have become more prominent include chikungunya virus and Zika virus.
Ah, so there's quite a few going on. Which of these ones can we find in WA?
Yeah, so in WA, the main four diseases that we associate with mosquito-borne mosquitoes is the Ross River virus, Barmer Forest virus, Murray Valley encephalitis, and Kundan virus. So with things like Ross River and Barmah Forest virus, these diseases, they can be quite debilitating, and symptoms can actually last for weeks to months, which may include swollen joints or painful joints, sore muscles, skin rash, fever, fatigue or headaches. Whereas things like MVE and Kunjun, so Murray Valley encephalitis and Kunjun virus, they are rarer. They only occur in the north of WA, more than two-thirds, but they can have much more serious consequences, including death for Murray Valley encephalitis.
Uh-huh. So pretty serious. Pretty serious if you're hanging out with one of these mozzies that has, you know, a bad one. They have a bad disease, you know?
No, that's right.
So pretty dangerous. What are the symptoms of Murray Valley and Japanese encephalitis?
Yeah, so Japanese encephalitis is an interesting one because we actually haven't quite yet detected it in WA. It's actually common over east and has been detected close to the Northern Territory border. But I think the general feeling is here that it's imminent for it to be detected in the Kimberley region, given the vast area, and we're trying to identify it up there. But it hasn't actually been notified as yet. But in terms of the symptoms that you suggested there, so Murray Valley encephalitis, it would include things like fever, drowsiness, headache, stiff neck, nausea and dizziness. But then if you do get a severe case, you can actually have a seizure, lapse into a coma, and you can be left with permanent brain damage. And as I said earlier, you can die from that.
Oh, my goodness.
Quite severe. And Japanese encephalitis is actually not that dissimilar either. The one thing I will note about Japanese encephalitis is that's the only disease that we do, well, actually it's not quite in WA yet, but in Australia there's actually vaccine preventable.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have a vaccine for Japanese encephalitis, but if you are unlucky enough to experience symptoms with it, maybe you'll just have an illness with fever and headache, which is almost the best case scenario if you do have symptoms from Japanese encephalitis. But again, severe infections, you may experience that neck stiffness again, disorientation, tremors, coma and seizures. And again, because it's associated with encephalitis, you can go on to experience that permanent neurological complications and, again, possibly death, very similar to Murray Valley encephalitis.
So if someone suspects that they have a mosquito-borne disease, what should they do?
The first thing you should do is seek medical advice as soon as possible, please. The only way you can actually be diagnosed with a mosquito-borne disease is through a specific blood test from a doctor. And I also think it's important to note that the only way that disease can be passed is on through the bite of an infected mosquito. It doesn't go human-to-human transmission, any of these diseases. So I think it's important that people know that as well.
Okay, it's only if the mozzie gets you. It's just the mozzies.
That's right.
The mozzies are the killers.
That's right. So
if there's, you know, if people go to the hospital, you know, they're getting themselves sorted out, is there a cure for these diseases? Can we avoid them?
Unfortunately, look, there's no vaccines or specific treatments even for any of the mosquito-borne viruses acquired in WA. As I said, the exception, if JEV is eventually found here, that is vaccine preventable. So essentially what happens is individuals need to take their own precautions to avoid mosquito bites, because that really is the only way to avoid these diseases. So to protect yourself against mosquito bites, if possible, avoid being outdoors at dawn and early evening, because that's when they're most prevalent. Wear long, loose-fitting, light-coloured clothing outdoors. Apply an effective personal mosquito repellent containing DEET, picaridin, or oil of lemon eucalyptus. If you've got insect screens, make sure they're installed in good condition. If you decide to sleep outside, up north, or wherever you might be, use mosquito nets. With babies, particularly under 12 months old, it's not recommended to apply a repellent to them. So just make sure they're wearing suitable clothing, shoes, socks, and maybe bed nets or other insect screening over the prams and things like that to try and protect them from mosquito bites too.
Absolutely. You're protecting all these people. We're getting the big, we used to call them princess nets when we were kids, but they were just mozzie nets, but they made us feel like we were princesses protected from the mozzies. It's a big issue. So we're protecting ourselves. We're keeping an eye. We know the symptoms now. What are the Department of Health doing to monitor and prevent the risk of mosquito-borne diseases?
Yep, we have a range of surveillance activities in place at the moment. So in the southwest of the state, we actually do go down along the Swan Coastal Plain and collect mosquitoes periodically, and we'll actually bring them back to the lab and see if there's any arboviruses in them. If there's arboviruses in them, so viruses like Ross River virus or Barmah Forest virus, we'll then notify the local government. We'll also put out a media statement to inform the community that it is a high risk of acquiring these diseases. Up north is a little bit different, though. It's, as you imagine, as you know, up north is a huge area to deal with, so we can't just go up there and collect mosquitoes every 2 weeks or something like that. Instead, we actually have a sentinel chicken program up there. So we've got little chickens in flocks up at the town centres up there. And they actually help us identify if there's Murray-Valley encephalitis or Kunjun virus in the area. The good thing about chickens is that, firstly, they don't become sick with the viruses, and secondly, they actually don't grow the virus in their bodies to a high enough level that a mosquito can bite them and pass it on to someone else. So they actually are quite useful for us in that regard.
My God, super chickens. That's great.
That's right, they certainly are.
What an unknown helpful chicken factor. That's great. They're so useful. We love them, giving us eggs, and they're helping us understand mozzie diseases. We love
That's
chickens.
Right.
Can you help me with something? Me and Taylor Strano, our lovely breakfast host, were discussing this morning about mozzie bites. Now, this is my qualm, is that I always thought that mozzies bit you. Taylor was telling me that they don't indeed bite you. What do they do when they, like, latch on? Is it a bite?
It is certainly a bite.
Okay.
So essentially females are the only mozzies that bite. So if females need to bite you, and they use their proboscis. It's a developed mouth part, specialised mouth part for actually piercing skin and getting into the blood vessels.
Oh.
And they need that quick blood source, which is essentially a protein source, to develop eggs very quickly.
Okay. I can't remember why, but we thought that they maybe, like, let out some sort of fluid onto you, and then, like, that was, like, what caused the bite and the inflammation and the infection. But it's definitely a bite. Is that what we're saying?
It's definitely a bite. And I know that that rumour's gone around about little biting midges sometimes, where they say that they pee on you and things like that. And reaction, that's actually not true either.
That's actually what we were talking about this morning. So I was trying to float around that. But, okay, mozzies are biting you. That's good for us to know. Okay, so we're looking out for bites. We're being careful. And we're thanking the chickens because they're really saving our little butts over here. Well, thank you so much for joining us on RTRFM this morning to talk all about mozzies and how to protect ourselves, Jay.
No problems at all. Thank you very much.
That was Jay Nicholson, Senior Scientific Officer, Environmental Health and Department of Health. Genius whiz, mozzie whiz. Mozzie whiz, the mozzie whiz. You know, it's exciting. If you want to get more information about how to protect yourself from mosquitoes and other pests, head to the Healthy WA Mosquitoes and Pests page on their website.